Hi, this is Rodney Greenblatt from Catskill, and you're listening to WGXC ACRA 90.7 FM.
Did you know that you can get free ebooks from your library anytime, anywhere? Check out with your library card and enjoy on popular devices like an iPad, e-reader, and smartphone. Visit your library's website or download the Overdrive Media Console mobile app to get started today.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable, all the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
I am Andy Reid.
And I'm Mike Porter.
You're listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations, which is aired on the third Tuesday of each month from 2 until 3 p.m. on WGXC ACRA 90.7 FM.
On each show, invited guests will be asked to discuss a number of items that they intend to taking with them on their Catskill Cabin getaway. As we discuss their chosen items, it is hoped that you, the listener, will enjoy getting to know that person a little bit better.
Today's guest is Glenn Arpino. Glenn grew up in the 70s, where he was exposed to progressive rock, now known as prog or prog rock. He always liked music that made him think and had the ability to take him on a fantastic journey. Although Glenn appreciates all music, bands such as Yes, King Crimson, Emerson, Lake and Palmer, and others were his favourites. Glenn knew a career in music was a long shot, so he opted to get an education from St John's University and, to cut a long story short, graduated as a pharmacist. Glenn always tinkered on the family piano growing up, but never had any formal training. Over time, listening to lots of keyboardists such as Vangelis, Synergy and others inspired him to buy his first synthesizer back in the 80s. He has performed ever since in various local bands. More recently, Glenn recorded a song that appeared on a Vangelis tribute CD that put him in a unique position where he met John Anderson, the lead singer from the band Yes, back in 2009. He asked him a simple question: will you ever record again with Vangelis? John responded by saying, I'm looking for a keyboard player like him. Of course, Glenn replied, that will be me. The rest is history. Glenn and John collaborated on a few songs that hopefully will be released sometime soon. Up until February 2018, Glenn was involved with a virtual band called TCP, aka Temporal Chaos Project. They were known in the small prog community and reviews were consistently positive. If you ask Glenn what they sounded like, he would say kinda like if you put Yes, King Crimson, Old Genesis and Peter Gabriel singing, throw in a little Supertramp, put it in a blender, and the end result would be like TCP. They released three CDs and were working on their fourth. However, sadly, their vocalist, aged 66, who had just retired, passed away in his sleep. Needless to say, they were all devastated. TCP may release a posthumous CD and compositions they were working on and anything that featured Henry. He will be missed. Glenn, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
Welcome, Glenn.
Thank you.
When did you start playing the keyboard?
Well, I used to play growing up on the piano, just tinkering here and there. Never really quite read music. And that's one of the things that I kind of wish I did is got some sort of formal education, but I didn't. But I always played, and then I stopped for a while. And then roughly in the 80s, I decided to buy a synthesizer, and that's what started it all.
So can you read music?
I can, slowly, but I can do it. If I had to do it, I would do it, yes.
So you're really just more of a natural player. You can sit down to a keyboard, and you know what the keys sound like, and
you hear
a tune in your head, and you can make that tune come out.
Comes from the heart.
From the heart.
That's the only way to explain it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm assuming one of your musical heroes or idols or somebody you really respect, Vangelis. Now, do you guys say Vangelis or?
It's Vangelis with
Vangelis.
A hard G. I used to say Vangelis, but then, of course, when I got older, I realized it was actually a hard G.
Vangelis.
And everyone knows him from the.
Yeah. John and Vangelis.
Well, that too, but like Chariots of Fire. That was his biggest thing.
Blade Runner.
There were things that he's done beyond that and before that.
Numerous theme music pieces from Olympic Games.
That, exactly, FIFA, and also lots of movies.
Yeah, yeah.
The Chariots of Fire, it was about running.
It was about running. It was the beach scene.
Yeah, we were watching National Lampoon's Vacation, which parodied that scene as they're running across the parking lot to Wally World, and they get there and it's closed, and they travel something, 2,000 miles. And
yep.
Well, I mean, we can come back to all this, but what I was going to say, Glenn, was I was reading about Vangelis, and he didn't have any formal training.
He did not.
And he's one of the foremost keyboard players in the world, or regarded as.
And a lot of his, if you ever actually listen to some of his stuff, it's not complex music, but he knows where to put those notes.
And some of the best songs, most powerful songs in the world that we all know, are very simplistic.
That's true.
I don't know who, I don't know what the author was that said, I really wanted to write you a short letter, but I didn't have time, so I wrote you a long letter.
Mm-hmm.
And that's such a profound statement, yeah. You know. It's easy to just warble on and write, but if you want to write something that really, you know, is concise and means something, it takes a lot more effort.
It does.
I think the same with songs, you know. Like, Every Breath You Take is such a simple song.
Yes, it is.
But it's such a powerful song. Imagine, such a powerful song. But they're very, very simple.
Yeah.
But one of the things I read about Vangelis was that he said he was getting formal training, and he, when it came time to play songs, he did it from memory instead
True.
Of reading the
wow.
instead of reading the note, the pages. He get found out by the instructors, but nonetheless,
I think he's doing okay. You know, I think he's sort of semi-retired now. I haven't seen anything coming out of his.
What age is he now? But 902?
I have no idea. He's old. Older.
I mean, one of the things I would say is the music that came out with John Anderson and him, I remember, you know.
You do.
The two striking songs to me. I used to run a soccer club, a soccer team in Glasgow, mm-hmm. an under-14 soccer team. And there was a guy who used to bring his son, and he used to help me with the team. Lovely man. I forget his name, but it was a long, long time ago. But it was a really... I think his name is Ian, actually. And he brought me a tape at the time. That's how long ago it was.
Mm-hmm.
He brought me a tape of John and Vangelis. And he said, here, that's a gift, you know. And the two songs that stuck out to me were the actual two hits.
Which ones?
I'll Find My Way Home and The State of Independence.
Which was redone by Donna Summer.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Right.
But really, really, I find them to be really two powerful songs. It's a remarkable song. I really, really enjoy them.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Now, Glenn, one of the first items you're going to be bringing is for... Aminopyridine.
You said that pretty good.
Thank you.
Is this a soccer player from Argentina?
No, it's actually medication. I can't live with that.
I thought it was a defender number four. No.
Can't live without it. I mean, I was diagnosed with MS back in the year 2000, and it's one of these conditions, obviously, that over time gets progressively worse.
Yeah.
And I'm at the point now where to help my mobility to get from point A to point B, I need this to help me do that. I'm not a great walker as it is, but yeah. This makes it better. So mm-hmm. I can't live without it.
So what type of medication is it? Is it like a anti-inflammatory?
No. How it works, the mechanics of it is not now to discuss because I don't think no one knows how it works. It's one of those drugs. It's now commercially available. I actually make it myself because that's what I do for a living.
Because you're a pharmacist.
I am.
People are like, oh my heavens, he's involved in some illicit...
So many drugs.
So how long have you been... I mean, you obviously need it now. That's why you're bringing it on your Catskill Cabin journey.
Correct.
So.
I started using this probably about 4 or 5 years ago.
Right.
Prior to that, I was fine. You know, you would never know that I had anything wrong because I'd easily walk from here to there, but now it's getting worse.
Right. Mm-hmm. No, I'm sorry to hear that.
That's okay. Yeah. Everybody's got their price to pay in life. I'm no different than anyone else.
Well, I hope the medication...
It helps.
Helps you and, you know... So.
It helps.
Yeah. And why don't we get to your first song?
What is your first song? Now... You're one of the few guests that have come on here who is actually bringing their own songs.
Oh.
It happens from time to time.
I'm looking forward to this.
Well, I'm happy. So. I'm proud to share. Well, let me explain. Okay, I have two songs with John Anderson. which are
now,
not...
Hold on.
Nope.
The John Anderson?
The John Anderson.
Right, so you need to give me the backstory of this then.
Do you want the backstory?
Oh, of course!
Okay. I had an opportunity to meet him back in 2009, and it was a simple thing. He asked me... Actually, I asked him if he's ever going to play with Vangelis, and like you said, I said... Hold on.
Where were you?
This was down at B.B. King's in New York City.
I've been there.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So one thing led to another, and I asked him, I says, are you ever going to get together with Vangelis again? He goes, oh, I'm looking for a keyboard player that plays like him. I'm like, oh, that would be me. So he gives me his personal email. I'm like, oh, geez, okay. So I sent him some stuff. The next thing I know, he sends me piano parts back and forth, orchestrates some ideas. So we started doing some stuff together, collaborating.
Now, hold on. Were you stunned?
I was beyond stunned. I mean, you know, I was listening to Yes in the 1970s.
Right. So how does it feel like to be?
And and here I am 30 years later sitting in my room, and I'm like, am I actually really doing this? It's pretty cool. But what had happened was he had gotten sick, and he actually got thrown out of Yes. Okay. And I felt bad, so I threw him a song. I says, you know what? Let me send him a song that I think he would like. I didn't know what to call it.
The song wasn't it called A Bone?
No, the song, actually, I don't name songs. So I asked my wife, I says, what do you think I should call this? And she says, call it The Journey. I'm like, it's a good name. Okay. So I sent it to him on a Sunday night. Wednesday afternoon, I had an attachment on my email, and it was his vocal line, which is what we have here. And I was like, are you kidding? From Sunday night to Wednesday, I inspired this guy. And, you know, for all the years that he inspired me, to me, that I was able to inspire him to come up with lyrics. Wow. So what did you think?
Talk me through how you felt when you opened that email.
How I felt? Let's see, besides like almost crying, I was like, oh my God, how could this be? You know,
and I would have probably been crying if I had sent Willie Nelson
a song. It was great. You know, I mean, it was a good experience. And over the years, I had like maybe about 10 chances. You know, I've had 10 opportunities, and I have met him over the years 10 times, which is really cool. So this is not a finished version by any which way, shape, or form. This is exactly the song that appeared in my email. And after this, we also did another one, which is very interesting as well. So if you want to put on this is called The Journey.
Thank you. This road less traveled, this road so alone, but not alone am I. This road less traveled, this road so alone, but not alone anymore. Here it comes. Here it comes. Light of love. The light of everything is meant to be. Light of everything is meant to be. Never be afraid to walk the walk. Got the journey long enough. Never be afraid to walk the journey long, long. Never be afraid to walk the journey long, long. Never be afraid to walk the journey long, long.
And that was, just so you know, a non-studioized, if that's such a word, version of it. This was just something that I sent him the music and he sent it back in an email. That's what it is. This is, so it's nowhere near finished. So sonically, you know, just don't judge it that way.
Well, I thought, I don't know, I thought it sounded finished.
And, well, and thank you.
You. So you sent...
I sent all the music, all everything but the vocals, I did.
You did.
And then I sent it to him.
I thought I heard a guitar in there.
Yes, I'm a keyboard player. We have lots of stuff.
So that's quite a trick to make a pretty convincing guitar, I thought. But that was you on the keyboard.
Correct.
Everything, the percussion, everything.
Everything.
Wow. How long did that take you to put together to send him?
I had that. It was one of my songs that I've done, and I asked my wife. That's why I said, I think I'm going to send him this, just to cheer him up. Never in a million years did I think he was going to send it back with a vocal line, which was amazing. And the fact that I asked the wife, and she said, call it The Journey, and that in that song, blatantly, he sings, you know, The Journey.
The Journey,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That made me feel good.
Oh,
well, it's, you know, if nothing ever happens...
Exactly. It's okay.
You know, you can say,
exactly.
Hey, I collaborated with John Anderson.
Exactly. You know what I mean? I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
I'm not looking for anything, you know.
And it's, that's, you know, that's the bottom line.
Absolutely. I never thought that there's any kind of monetary advantage of anything in music that I've ever done. I don't do it for that. I do it because I'm passionate about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Glenn, I'm kind of curious about being a pharmacist.
Okay.
It's something that I really know nothing about.
Okay.
And you talk about being able to like create your own medication, make your own pills. Mm-hmm. How do you do that? What types of instruments do you use and chemicals and how does that work?
I am called a compounding pharmacist. I've been doing compounding since 1992. I worked for a dermatologist for 10 years, so I learned how to make skincare products. I figured I could do this on my own, and I started this in the year 2000, and it just exploded, more or less. And I got into certain areas of pharmacy, like compounding, especially women's health issues, because my own wife, back in 1998, giving birth to my second daughter, severe complications, she had to have an emergency hysterectomy, partial oophorectomy. She was actually given last rites the next day. So talk about stress. That might have triggered the MS, by the way. But what happened was she didn't need those last rites. She came out of ICU 9 days later. She comes home 2 weeks later, and I had to live with her. I'm like, who are you? What the hell are you? I said, there's something wrong. So I figured it out. I said, you know, she's not making progesterone anymore. So I got her on some of that, and next thing I know, it's like, oh, my God, she's a different person. That's when I educated myself, and that's when I got into all of the OBGYNs in the area, and I've been doing it ever since.
Right.
So that's pretty much my forte, skincare and women's issues.
Yeah.
Right.
And compounding. So, like, what types of equipment do you use to make
scales? We have scales. We have hoods. We have, you know, very, very cool mixers.
Yeah.
Things like that. I mean, good old mortar and pestle.
Yeah.
Things like that. Mixers. You know, I've done it for so long, it's second nature to me.
Mm-hmm. But you must have this just extraordinary knowledge of chemical compounds in the body and what chemicals can go together and what are they going to do.
I don't know if extraordinary is the actual word. I mean, there's certain things I know a lot about, I mean, and there's certain things I don't, because, I mean, there's so many drugs that are out there, and I focus mostly on women's issues and skincare. So if somebody asked me about their blood pressure meds, I said, just go to CVS and ask them.
Okay.
I have no idea.
Okay.
And, you know, I like that you've got that confidence in yourself to say, no idea.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know what? Yeah. But ask me about certain parts of your body, and that would surprise the, you know, a lot out of you.
Well, I'll talk to you off mic there.
I brought this list with me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I get that all the time.
Do you make your own Nicorette gum?
I wish I did. Okay, that's my second thing, you know. Nicorette gum. I used to be a smoker, and I stopped smoking, and it just happened to have coincided on the day that Lady Diana got killed. Mm. It wasn't planned, and it's just, well, so now I always remember the day I quit smoking. However, I started chewing Nicorette gum.
Does it taste good?
It tastes great. Okay, and this one, not the original one, tastes lousy. But so this is a fruit chill. Okay, and
fruit chill.
I'll keep it in my mouth for probably 2 hours. You know, and it's only good for a half an hour anyway. But am I addicted to nicotine gum? Yeah, I am.
Does it not give you gas? Chewing that?
This does not give me gas. Beans give me gas, but this does not give me
gas. Yeah. You know, I was doing some reading about Nicorette gum, and I had no idea. Mm-hmm. But users are directed to chew the gum until it softens.
30, like how many times?
and it produces apparently a tingling sensation or peppery taste.
Correct.
And then you park it or tuck it between the cheek and the gums, and when the tingling ends, you start chewing it again. Yep. And then that, gets it tingling and peppery.
Absolutely.
Again. Tuck it in your cheek, and you just keep doing that until it's used up.
And then after that, it's about 20 minutes, and then I just chew it like regular gum.
So that, obviously, it gives you nicotine, right?
It gives you nicotine.
Right, but so what's the equivalent? Is it like 15 cigarettes?
This is 2 milligrams. So I don't know. You know, again, I haven't smoked in years, so I don't even know what they are.
I read that a cigarette might be 6 milligrams.
Right, so if I've never smoked before, which I haven't, if I was to eat that right now, would I
I'd laugh. You don't want to do that. Because, right. I mean, you would probably chew it too fast, and that would release too much nicotine, and then you'll get that like nicotine splurge, and you'll get like crazy. You don't want to do that.
Right.
But
don't
then
do it,
become,
Andy.
Then you'll become addicted to this. You don't want to become addicted to
this. No, I'll not do that, no.
There is evidence, you know, that while nicotine may be a cause of oral cancer, now this isn't like this profound study that's like, oh, it's guaranteed, it's probably,
right. Mm-hmm.
But it can be used to prevent and treat Alzheimer's disease.
Correct.
And may delay the onset of Parkinson's disease.
Absolutely. It's got some good positive things associated with nicotine. Not to smoking. Yeah. Smoking is not good.
Interesting. Some new users may get hiccups.
I don't get hiccups.
If I was to, see, I found lately, when I mean lately, I'm talking about the last few years, that if I chew gum, I get gas.
Chew sugarless gum with sorbitol, did you ever hear Velements? Remember those?
Velements.
Used to be the Velements. They were like square sugar-free candy.
Right, right.
You know what the East River smells like?
Ooh.
That's what it was like. I'm not kidding you. Too much sorbitol can do that to you. So if you're chewing sugarless gum,
right,
that'll do it. This is sugarless, but I don't chew that much of it to get that effect. But
right.
If you chew sugarless gum, you will.
So it's bad to chew sugarless, sugar-free gum?
I didn't say it was bad. I just said you could smell like the East River.
Yeah, because I'm gas.
Exactly.
Ah, dear. Well, I smell it the East River every day. Then.
Well, there you go.
Do you smell it the East River?
Sometimes.
Yeah? Why is this the East River? What is the East River?
It's down New York City.
Right. So is that a bad river?
It's kind of smells like if you had too much sugarless gum.
Yeah. Well, even the Hudson, maybe up until recently, the Hudson, they say you shouldn't swim in it. You shouldn't catch any, or at least eat any fish out of it. And there was I took a documentary film history course, and we watched a documentary film about a young guy that started in the headwaters and the Adirondacks of the Hudson River and swam the whole Hudson. And people are like, don't do it.
Yeah, and he's dead now.
Yeah, yeah. Well.
No.
But maybe.
It smells like the East River.
Yeah.
It smells like nicotine.
Yeah.
Now, I want to talk John Anderson. Did you know that John Anderson, his father came from Glasgow, Scotland?
I knew that. Yeah, I did.
Same town as I was born and raised in.
Do you remember him? Did you ever meet him?
No, but see, here's one of the things, right? It says that his name came as an amalgam of two things. One was an English singer called John Roy, the Melody Boy, and the Scottish name Royston. Now, Royston, although it's a name, there are places called Royston in Glasgow. There's a place called Royston in Glasgow and Rob Royston. So I'm wondering if he's named after a place in Glasgow.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Interesting, eh? But he actually grew up in Lancashire.
Accrington, I think.
Accrington, yeah. Right. And he tried to become a professional football player and play for Accrington Stanley.
Right.
But Accrington Stanley are a very, very low grade team.
I understand.
So he never made the grade.
No.
So he must have been rubbish.
No, probably.
So, yeah. Interesting stuff. I just thought I'd share that stuff because I found that quite interesting.
I do have another song from John Anderson, okay, that I think is, to me, I love this song because this was, now we've had this relationship going back and forth. So again, I came up with some music, I sent it to him, he sent me back an idea, and then
so let's go back. Right, so you got that first song,
correct,
and then you were like weeping in the corner for 3 days.
Absolutely.
And then
about that, yeah. And then I said, well, here's something else.
Right.
All right. And the interesting, you know, he immediately sent it back to me with an idea. So I kind of formed that idea. And it was a cool thing because the song is called Compassion. And this was around the time that the earthquake, the Haiti earthquake, and it was pretty bad. So at the time, after we had finished the song, I said, why don't we release this for the Haiti victims, and then, you know, I don't want it, you know, I don't need any money for it, so just whatever it is, just donate it to that. And he's like, well, too many people are going to be doing that, which nobody did. So it's been sitting around for all this time. Now, I think, considering the state of the world, in my opinion, I'm not trying to be political, it's just that I think the whole world needs compassion, and I think that this is a very good song to show that. The cool thing about this is that, you know, I wanted to have some kids sing a kids' chorus, and I went to the schools, and they were like, oh, no, this is commercial. Commercial. I'm like, all right, fine. Okay, too bad. So I got some kids in my neighborhood, including my own two daughters at the time, and they all sang on it. So I kind of made it like a chorus type effect. And the last two vocalists at the very end of the song are my kids. So it's kind of interesting.
Oh,
and
cool.
They hate that because this was 10 years ago. But anyway, this is now also going to be re-released with some other people, with John Anderson. So here's the song.
They see me, they know me, they show me the meaning. They reach out, they sing me compassion. Simple,
says that we can, we know we can see. Pray for the millions.
Pray for the dead.
Pray for the children.
Pray for the children.
Need the compassion.
The compassion.
Bring in the sharing.
That's what we all need. Compassion.
Compassion, yeah. I really liked that.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed that.
And it features your daughters.
It does.
Do your daughters know that they were like singing with John Anderson?
They actually met him with me.
Yeah.
Wow. We went down again. We had another chance. And it was a cool thing because John took us in the back room. It was just my wife, myself, my two kids and him for 20 minutes to a half an hour just talking in the back about things. And I'm like, I can't believe this.
Yeah. Amazing.
No, he was inducted into the...
Yes, the Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. Was it last year?
I think so. Last year or the year before.
Yeah. I bet you couldn't have been there.
You know, no. What I find all of this, it gives me a little validity. You know what I mean? It's like, wow, I inspired this guy. Wow, after all the years of him inspiring me, to me, I think that's... You can't put a price on
so
that.
So I say, I was just about to say priceless.
It is.
It's priceless.
Yep.
Now, you want to take a PlayStation Wii, right?
I have a PlayStation.
Right?
I have a PlayStation
but
4.
Obviously, you can't take a PlayStation because you're not allowed any electronics. But tell me about this addiction you have to PlayStation 4 golf.
I'm totally addicted to golf. Okay. I never played it. Okay. Real? Okay. I don't know what I would do if I ever got on a real golf course, but I'm very good at PlayStation 4 golf.
Yeah.
Rory McIlroy. Yeah. I play it every night. It's just bizarre. And of course, it takes away time from me playing music, but I have to kind of balance everything.
Right. Out. Right. Mike's a gamer.
Xbox really? One. I'm an Xbox man.
In an Xbox man. So
yeah.
If you put a game in front of me, it would be like Galaga, right?
But that, I have that too.
Mooncresta or Phoenix or something like that.
Oh jeez.
I'm when it comes to I don't know if you remember a game called what was it? Defender.
Yeah, of course, because we're probably in the same age group.
I was dyslexic when it came to dyslexia. I was dyslexic when it came to Defender. I don't know if you know what that game is.
Is it where you back and forth at the bottom of the screen?
No, this like you
sideways
control this,
up and down.
This sideways, and you're moving.
And they're all coming at you.
Yeah, yeah. I just couldn't do it.
Nah, you know, I never liked
10
it.
10 seconds into the game, I get blew up all the time. Right, but. That's the type of games that I like.
Xboxes and
PlayStations, it's just alien to me. Pardon the pun.
I have I have actually the headset for the virtual reality.
Wow.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
You don't have to leave your house to go anywhere.
Now, Mike built a movie theater in his basement, right?
Nice.
Complete with popcorn and all that. It employs this little woman. She just sits in there. She's got a flashlight and stuff.
And Paula.
In. What's her name?
Paula.
Paula. Impala?
No.
Paula.
Paula.
Paula. Right. Paula. So, you know, one night he said to me, you know, we'd finished recording or whatever it was we were doing. And I said, right, do you want to play a game? And I was like, well, I'm not really into games, but... Well, so he puts on this game, Grand Theft Auto.
Oh, jeez. Right?
But it was so much fun.
Oh, you liked it?
Yeah, because we're like driving this. I took control of a tractor trailer and I'm just driving through, crashing into cars and stuff like that and injuring people.
Yeah.
I get chased by the cops, you know.
Of course.
And, you know, it was great. It was just great escapism. But the fact that it was on a massive, massive screen made it. All that much better, obviously.
Yeah.
And there's like $5,000 worth of Bose speakers, giving you the joyride of your life, lifetime. But
that's a gamer.
Yeah. But are you, do you compete with the top players? Are you are you below par?
No, I'm always below par. Always.
They said that with pride there, didn't
you? Yeah. Always.
So do you play, how many golf courses are there?
We got about maybe 10. Maybe 8 or 10. The one I like the most is the TPC Scottsdale. Because I go to Arizona quite a bit, and I've never been to that golf course. But now I can't wait to go back out there. I'm going to go to the golf course because I think I know what to do. And I know I don't.
Are you on the tour?
No, I'm on a tour on PlayStation.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Of course, yes. Yes, I am.
And where are you? What number in the world?
I don't know where I am. You know, I am not that into it. I mean, I play for fun, and some people are into it.
Do you know what golf game I did play? Wii Golf.
I had Wii Golf. Tiger Woods.
Sure. I enjoyed that. Remember the Wii? I enjoyed that.
It was a good game.
Yeah.
That was I had the Tiger Woods and then just the Wii Golf. Like the Wii came with a pack of games. The golf. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I like playing that.
Yeah.
And then you can make your own wee face up and all that.
Did you play the Rory McIlroy one?
Not the Rory McIlroy, no. But I had the Tiger Woods one and I don't have any golf games. Xbox doesn't really have the cool motion controls and stuff that the PlayStation does. They don't have a virtual reality headset yet.
Then why are you playing Xbox?
Anyway.
You know, I was reading about golf balls, yep. And it's commonly believed that hard wooden round balls were the first to be used for golf between the 14th and the 17th centuries. And then they moved on to what was called the feathery, which was a hand-sewn round leather pouch stuffed with chicken or goose feathers and coated with paint, which was usually white. And these things being so difficult to make, so time consuming, they would sell for about $10 to $20 today for a single ball.
Wow.
And my experience on the course would make the balls prohibitively expensive.
Yeah.
When I golfed, it was just like, oh, there it goes. Not going to find that one. Oop, that's in the water. Oop.
That's why I play PlayStation.
Yes. Yeah.
Do you know, when I played golf in Wyndham one time with my brother Thomas, and the two of us had 8 balls each, and we lost every one of them.
Of course.
Yeah, they have some beautiful courses up there, though. Yeah. You never get a chance. Beautiful scenery. I have a bit of trivia for you, gentlemen.
You do? Mm-hmm.
Mike Austin is a professional driver, golf driver. He has the world record for the longest drive in professional play. How far was that drive?
Can I guess?
Yes, please.
380 yards?
380?
No, it's more than that.
I don't know.
Actually, with luck we'd have it. I actually stumbled on one of these programs the other night.
Uh-huh.
And it's just guys that hit the ball far.
Just how far can you whack it?
I'm going to say 520 yards.
515.
Oh, really? Wow, man.
515.
Are you kidding?
At 3 feet a yard, that works out to be 1,545 feet over a quarter mile.
Wow.
That a human being with a metal rod in his hand sent a ball a quarter mile.
Wow.
Impressive.
That is impressive.
Quite a whack.
These guys work out and stuff.
And he's like, he's renowned. This Mike Austin has like a particular swing. I saw a picture of it. You know, he's like really getting his hips and his torso in there and kind of whipping his body around. It looked like.
I'm sure there'll be a PlayStation game with Mike Austin's golf or something.
Cool.
Mike Austin's drives.
Yeah.
Steve Austin.
Mike Austin and Steve Austin demolition. One guy goes at the wall with his fists. The other guy goes ahead with a golf ball.
But can he putt?
Yeah.
You know, years ago when I was a kid, the ball, I remember, like, you sometimes see a ball that was chipped or something, and eventually, you know, kids would manage to get the outer casing off, and then the elastic, and then a kind of rubber ball in the middle.
Yeah.
And there was, like, white fluid in it. And I don't know, you know, I don't know what it was. But
I was reading, that was actually, well, first of all, these round balls that they were making in the 1800s, when they started putting hard shells on them, with use, they would get kind of nicked up, scraped up, dinged up. And they found that after that happened, it began to be worn. It flew better through the air, which led to the development of, you know, a grooved surface to help it stir up the air and move. But up until the 1970s and 80s, some of these balls were made with a caustic liquid inside that would explode when people tried to dissect them.
Really?
And people were getting injured by these things. So I wonder if your buddies were kind of like playing with little bombs and didn't really know it.
Yeah, and maybe it's one of those caustic fluids that maybe, as a pharmacist, you'll know that if maybe I end up with something wrong with my fingers, maybe that's what it was.
Probably.
It could be. I have another bit of trivia for you, gentlemen.
Oh, my God. Go for it. Hey, listen, I'm on a roll here.
The most expensive golf club, the metal thing that you would whack it with, not the place you would go. The most expensive metal thing, how much does it go for? The most expensive club you can buy.
You want me to go first this time?
Yeah, you go first.
So the most expensive club in the world, you're talking about a club that's made with gems and stuff?
I don't know. So, yeah, some of them.
Right. $3 million.
$3 million.
I don't know. $10,000?
You know, I was actually surprised by this. It's the Hanma Golf's five-star set. Clubs start at $5,400 each. And a bag would get you around 76 grand. So that's, I guess, what I found, like 5,400.
You're neater.
I'm closer.
I thought for sure it was going to be something obscene. Because, you know, like we've done in the past, you think about this trivia and you hear something ridiculous, like a golf club goes for $15 million. And
now, let's move on. Now, Glenn, your third song.
Well, okay. We have something from the band that I was involved in.
Right.
Unfortunately, no more. And I think you mentioned in the intro why the lead singer had passed away. And yeah, it's a shame because we were working on our fourth disc and we were getting pretty good reviews throughout the small prog community. But I have the latest song that I have from our latest disc. It's a song I wrote. I don't write lyrics. I just write music. And this is a song called Impetus, and it's about 10 minutes long, but it has a lot of nice changes, and it's pretty melodic, so hopefully you like it.
Thank you. what's moving up inside. It's all begun to feel so right. A flash of Elohim to bridge the everlasting spirit sea.
Some troublesome, some wonderful. what drives your heart and rolls you out of bed. Just when that thought occurs, you reach the end.
That was Impetus by TCP.
Lovely song.
Thank you.
I mean, I really enjoyed it. It was one of those songs where you're on a long drive in the middle of the night, 2 a.m, beautiful night.
If you're interested, we can change it up a little bit with the first song, which we do have a video for. I did not write this song, but I play
it. The first song?
The very first song, often latest and final
can,
CD.
And where can listeners find the video?
Anywhere. Oh, right on YouTube. And then all our music is available on Spotify. And
so
all
what did they put into the YouTube to find it?
Just put in TCP 1000 and this will come up. And essentially, this will be the song.
The first song. What's first the first song called?
The first song is Torn Apart, 1000 Sparks.
So if you put TCP 1000, it comes up. Pretty cool video. We had it professionally made.
Yeah.
We're not in it, thank God, until the end with just a picture of us.
Torn apart. 1,000 Sparks.
1,000 Sparks.
who came up with the name of the song?
Probably Henry, because he's the author of all the words. It's amazing. I mean, there's music that we come up with that we never thought in a million years anybody could put vocals on it, but he could. It's amazing.
I really enjoyed that. I'm trying to remember the name of the guy who sang in the heavy metal band, English guy who now flies planes, and I forget his name. But I thought he sounded a wee bit like him in the song, just the way his diction and his...
He's very interesting.
Yeah.
He's an interesting singer.
Yeah. He's not like your typical just sing the song. His diction and his delivery is I really enjoy it, you know.
Well, I think you'll enjoy all of it.
Now, we're coming to the end of the hour, Glenn.
No, too bad.
As I say a lot on our shows, we could speak for hours.
I could go for another 3 hours.
We could listen to all the music and just get into it, and you know,
Glenn, for our fundraiser shows, we're having guests back.
Yes.
A redux. Maybe next time. One of these times coming up. Glenn, keyboard.
I'm in.
That would be cool.
Play something.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Put you on the spot.
We'll see.
Get John Anderson down.
Yeah, maybe I can get him to come.
Oh, fantastic. Now, usually before we go, we ask one more question.
Okay.
So we're going to ask you a question, and that question is, Mike,
how do you take your coffee?
I like it with a little bit of cream, no sugar.
And then what kind of coffee do you drink?
I like regular coffee. I believe it or not, and don't take it the wrong way, but I do like the pumpkin spice. Okay.
Really? So you're loving this time of the year.
Yeah, I do. But I drink it all year round, actually. I have the pods. And, you know, it's funny. Whenever somebody wants to get me coffee, say a Dunkin' Donuts, I make them go in to get it because I don't want to go in and ask for it. And I have customers that actually come and bring me a cup of pumpkin latte every time they come in, which is great.
Fantastic. Cool. Mike, do you like that?
The pumpkin, I've never really gotten into. I do like hazelnut, and nice. That's my kind of go-to flavor when it comes to coffee. Yeah. But I love pumpkin pie.
Okay.
I don't like that.
You don't like it?
Pie? No. No, I don't like pumpkin pie. I never grew up with it, so...
Yeah, no, I grew
sticky
up
with toffee pudding. No, there you are.
Oh, well, I don't know what that is.
You ever had mincemeat pie?
Oh, yeah, they're lovely.
Now...
It's not actually mincemeat.
It's not meat.
It's fruit, right?
It's fruit. Yeah. It's like a concoction of, say, sultanas and...
Currants.
Currants and maybe orange peel and some spices to spice it up. That's what it kind of looks like, mincemeat, but it's fruit.